Okay.
Hey, Mark?
Yes, Larry.
Yeah, earlier we were talking about what's happening in this time in the earth. And I'm reminded of, I went back to Matthew 24, that great chapter, where the Lord describes that all things are to come to pass. And especially, I wanted to say something about where we are in this time and what we're to do. So he addresses this when he says that, you know, first of all, let no man deceive you. Okay, so we have to always be aware of the great deception in our time. And always discern what's the truth and, you know, what's coming over the media. And there's so much deception that's going on over there in Ukraine that, you know, the vast majority of the people do not see it. So we have to depend upon the Spirit of God to show us what the truth is. Secondly, he says that all of these things, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, and certainly that's what we're seeing. But he says these things are just the beginning of the birth pangs. So we're actually at the very beginning of the what's coming, the tribulation period. But he says to us, be not troubled. Okay? So that's important, that we don't allow what's coming in this time to trouble us and to distract us from why we're here during this time. You know, we have a great calling in this time that we're living in. So remember the ministry and the calling that why God put you here for such a time as this. Then he says also, you know, don't be offended in verse 10. You know, many will be offended, but we're not to be offended. And that, you know, means, you know, don't, again, don't be distracted. Don't stumble. Don't let anything stop you from what God has called you to do. And finally, he says throughout all of this, endure, those who endure till the end will be saved. So again, it's a picture of, you know, we have to just keep in remembrance and keep moving on with what God called us to do. And at the very end there, he says that the gospel must be preached in all the world as a witness. So, you know, I believe it's a call for us during this time to really reach out to people, because this is a time of great, that's coming, it's great trouble. It's going to trouble the people in the world. But we have the answer. You know, we have the answer to their troubles. And perhaps this is why we were put in this turn, called for such a time as this. So keep your mind, your heart, your spirit focused on what has God called you to do. Don't get troubled. Don't get exhausted. Just go on and know that in one way it's good, because the end is coming near. Amen.
Amen.
It was one thing that really quick me when we were singing, and we were singing, I rather have Jesus than silver and gold. And then we sang, Jesus, come and be my king. And it really quickened me in the Mark chapter 11 and verse 7 and 8, it is really speaking about what we should focus on really this time, because Jesus is coming. And in Mark 11, verse 7, he says, "And they brought a colt to Jesus and cast the garment on him, and he sat upon him." So it really speaks to us about this garment. The garment is that what is covering us, that is covering our flesh, our character, our life. And it speaks about that we have to choose to let Jesus rest in our covering, in our garment. Let our garment show that he is resting in it. And in verse 8, he said, "And many spread their garments in the way." It means that their garment that they put in the way in on the road, he start to move in them. He start to walk on them. They put their covering before him, and he walk on them. And it speaks about to let him come forth in our life. Let him be shown in our covering. And it really blessed me to see this, because he is really coming. And let him be shown, not our personal covering. Less of us and more of him. He is coming to give us beauty for ashes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let us go back to the word, and this will probably be the last of this little series of the new heaven and the new earth. And what we want to look at this time is the removal of the wicked. And I'm thinking not only from the natural earth around about us, but let us keep in mind as we read these verses that God is first of all cleaning up our earth. If he will not tolerate wicked men, wicked beings, wicked practices in that earth, we have to come to a place in our earth where we want the fullness of purity. Now, when I say the fullness of purity, how much purity are you willing to settle for in your own soul, in your own mind, in your own thoughts, in your own action, okay? Are you willing to settle for 90% and say, well, that's pretty good? Or are you dissatisfied to say, well, there's 10% flesh in me yet? There's 10% of me that is still not Christ. Will Christ be satisfied to come in and dwell where he only has 90% of us, or 80% or whatever it is, that he can only be 80% king? Will he be satisfied? Somehow I don't think so. Okay. All right. That's just a thought to throw out as we look into some of these passages. I'm thinking if we could start in the book of Job, and I'm wondering if sometime if it wouldn't be good to take a better look at Job. I'm thinking of Job chapter 38. And let me think that we start off in maybe verse 13. Actually, God, maybe we should start earlier. God is talking to Job here. These are questions God is asking of man, okay? And maybe maybe verse 5. Who has laid the measures thereof? Oh, verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it? That's the plumb line or the carpenter's line, you know, to lay it out and create it, okay? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who has laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. What do you think of that verse? Who are these morning stars? Who are these sons of God that are coming together and rejoicing together? Amen? Who are they? So, who shut up the sea with the doors when it brake forth as it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall the proud waves be stayed. Amen. Hast thou commanded the morning since my days? In other words, have you told the sun when it's time to rise? Amen. And caused the day spring to know his place. Now, here's the verses I'm looking for. I wanted to bring you into context here. That it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. Now, there's a prophecy to Job given by God, who says that he has a plan to remove the wicked out of the earth. Okay? He says he's going to shake them out. Now, what do you think of this word shaking? This is a pretty violent act, is it not? It's not just a quiet little shaking. It's a shaking that will destroy something, completely remove something. Okay, it's a violent shaking, in other words. It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. Now, verse 15, and from the wicked, their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Now, this high arm is an arm raised in pride, raised in dominance, an arm raised in symbolism that I am taking authority over this thing. He's saying that this arm, this high arm of the mighty ones, is to be broken. Brethren, the system of life as we know it on the earth today, which we all agree is getting worse and worse, is to be completely annihilated. Life will go on in a very different way. God is not going to just let this earth drift off into some nuclear wasteland and that we all become spiritual beings running around somewhere up in the clouds. This earth will endure forever, brethren, all right? And the wicked, their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Just a couple more. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the stretch of the depth, search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? By the way, I think I have. Job hadn't apparently been there, but I do sincerely believe that I was in that place. I don't know how much I saw it because there was a lot of darkness, but I believe the Lord revealed to me I was in the shadow, valley of the shadow of death. Okay, and I was aware that there was a door very close to me, and I knew it was the door of death, and I knew that if I passed through that door, I would not return again to the land of the living. All right, so he's saying to Job, have you seen that place? Have you been there? Now, let me go to another place in Job, chapter 21. Let's go back a little bit. And I think we come to verse 17. Verse 17. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? Now, that remember that word candle really means lamp. Okay? How oft is the lamp of the wicked put out? And how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. Amen? So, let me go down 18. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. So the memory of these great and mighty wicked men that have been the, what shall we say, the princes of the earth, the one who the great empires of our land have their names on them. Our cities and streets and bridges and buildings and such are named after these great so-called pillars of the past. So they'll be as nothing. Amen. It says, and God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him and he shall know it. Now, this is a little difficult to translate this verse here. God is not saying God's children, all right? What he's saying is he's laying up the iniquity for the children of the wicked, that they will reap, some of them will reap the sins of their parents and their grandparents. And they will, this word reward is not necessarily a positive reward. Again, it's a judgment reward upon them. You know, I'm going to go ahead and say the name of a family that in my generation, early generation, I should say, they were a great name. The Kennedy family. You're aware of how this family came to greatness. It was old Joe Kennedy that came over from Ireland. I believe it was him that came. And he made a mighty empire of wealth. I understand most of his empire was built in the days of Prohibition. There was a season of time that America passed an amendment to the Constitution forbidding the sale and consumption of alcohol. Well, the word is that he profited in this by distributing and importing alcohol from somewhere else, and made a great name. And his sons, one of them became a president. Bobby was his attorney general. He ran for president. Edward, Teddy, they called him. He became a senator. But look at the results of what happened. And now, what do you find of the third generation? You find nothing. You find no big names at all. Everything seemed to go bad to the children. The president was shot and killed in Dallas. The next one was shot and killed out on the West Coast trying to run for office. Edward or Teddy, much trouble over that girl that he had with him, went off the bridge. Just his life came to nothing. The president's son, now a third generation, he gets in a private airplane, goes off the coast somewhere of Massachusetts, the plane goes down. Nobody knows what happened. Where is the legacy now? It's gone. I mean, I'm just thinking in the natural, but God is talking about a spiritual end here to the mighty captains that we recognize today in our natural realm. Let's take another verse here in Job. I think God is telling Job, look, don't worry about your present trouble. You're a righteous man, okay? The song that Rita brought up there at the very end. How did it go, Rita? God doesn't move without purpose or plan. And it talked about the tribulation that we're going through. If we look to him, we see it from a very different perspective, okay? Now, in verse 30 of this same chapter, that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. In other words, there is a day of reckoning when all the blood, the innocent blood that these people have shed is going to be brought forth. I may have mentioned it before. Somebody wrote a book. I saw this book a long time ago. The blood that is responsible from the hands of the Clintons, much blood, much shedding of blood to come to the place of power that they were able to achieve. So let me go to another place in Job, and that would be chapter 31. There's a little nugget here in chapter 31, verse 3. And by the way, I'm only picking a few, the ones that I could easily find. Is not, verse 3, is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Now that strange, that word strange means disaster, a disastrous punishment to the workers of iniquity. So we see God's long range plan here is the removal of the wicked. Now let me go to Isaiah for just a little bit. I want to start in Isaiah chapter 1. If we can go over to Isaiah here for just a minute. Isaiah 1 verse 28. Now remember, brethren, Isaiah is an Old Testament prophet. Jesus quoted Isaiah several times. So he gave credence to the word of Isaiah as it was the word of the Lord. And he says here in 28, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. All right. Let me take this to chapter 2. Chapter 2, come down to verse 11, okay? For the lofty looks of man shall be humbled. When you see these kings and these emperors and these whatever title they have, presidents, what have you, do they show the picture of the man humbled, or do they show him coming out of his building, coming out of his airplane? They show him coming out in a very prideful manner, a man in control, a man of command, okay? The lofty looks, okay, of man shall be humbled. Now, this isn't just the big men of empire. This is the lowliest man of the street as well. If he comes with lofty, prideful, arrogant looks, it's in his heart, shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Now, we're looking at our own hearts now, brethren. Let's, our own soul, our own being. How much of this loftiness and haughtiness and pride, self-righteousness, we can call it. God discovered that in me. He discovered it in me 20 years ago when he brought me to the point where he said, for you are dead. And, you know, I puzzled for many months, for many days, for many even years, I puzzled and continued to puzzle over what did he mean by saying, for you are dead. I first took it as a very negative thing. But as the days pass and as the years pass, I'm beginning to take it as more of a positive thing. Do you not want to be dead to self? And if God is saying, for you are dead, he's saying something good has happened to you. Your old flesh life is being put under. Rejoice. Maybe he's not finished with this process yet, but he's announced to you the end result is for you are dead. Amen. And the following verse was what? And your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. So he's saying dead, old man dead, new man, life in Christ. How much more would you rather have that life than the life of your old flesh that is in the dying process? Amen. Now, the next verse, let's see. We're looking at, where am I? Isaiah chapter 2. Okay, 11 and 12. Yeah, 11 and 12. Now, let me move down to verse 17 in the same passage. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Now, brethren, this applies to every man of ministry as well. Any gift, any ministry, any authority that God has given is to be brought down, and man and the flesh of man not seen. Amen. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. We're going to see some idols here today, brethren, idols of the world, but maybe they're idols in us as well. And they shall go into the holes of the rot. Boy, that sounds a lot like, what is that chapter in Revelation? Is it 8 or 9? Where it says that they will call for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the mighty power and glory of the presence of the Lord. It's in Revelation. Let me just go over there for a quick minute and see if I can find it. I think it's quite easy to find. I know right where it is on the page. I think it's in chapter 6. Yes, chapter 6. I'll start in, and I beheld, let's start at verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. We'll see that again in Isaiah. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Now that's the heavenly host, the unclean spirits of darkness that rule in high and wicked places. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. What is a mountain, brethren? It's a high thing. It's even the organizations, some of them are high mountains. They're very, very well prominent. Men see these things. Men bow to these things. Islands, independent works that have no tie to any, you know, they're not part of the body of Christ, just an independent thing out there. Amen. They're going to be out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Now, I'm not just trying to focus on the wrath of God, brethren, okay? But we cannot ignore the prophets of old. And if you read the book of Isaiah, you find that there is a lot of that Isaiah is saying is going to have to come to an end. It's going to have to come down. Where are we on in Isaiah, verse 17, okay? I wanted to go down through verse 21, I believe it is. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks, verse 19, and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Now, it seems like Revelation is taking practically the whole meaning of what Isaiah is saying right here in chapter 6. Now, in verse 20, in that day shall men cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. Moles and bats. What are these idols of silver? You know, come on, they're not made out of natural silver anymore, brethren. They're not things that, well, yes, they are for some. They're things that sit on their dresser and hang on their wall. But that's not the main thing that we're talking about. We're talking about the beliefs that men are holding, so men, I should say women as well, holding with such a tenacious grip that are being threatened in this day. Because they're idols of wickedness. They're idols that they want their sexual freedom, brethren. And they want to be able to deal with the results in any manner that they please. And they're getting very brazen in their talk about it. Well, let me go on. To the clefts of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged rock for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. What does shaking the earth mean to you, brethren? Does it mean just earthquakes where houses are torn apart and where streets are torn apart and bridges fall? Brethren, the shaking of the earth is the shaking of the souls of men. And there's going to be a loud scream and there's going to be a loud cry when the earth begins to shake. And I believe the shaking has already begun. God has already touched some things. He's already touched some idols. He's already touched some sacred cows, shall we say, some golden calves. And there is a screaming and there is a shaking going on. Let me look at Psalm 55 for a minute. We'll maybe come back to Isaiah later. Look at Psalm 55. Just one verse here, verse 23. But thou, O God, shall bring them down unto the pit of destruction, bloody and deceitful men. Amen. Let me just see what this bloody is. Bloodthirsty. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Go to Psalm 101. Okay, just one verse here. I'm just picking a few. verse 8 in 101. Let's start back in verse 6 here and get something else. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. See, there's a contrast here. That they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. What does perfect mean? It means upright. It means blameless. Does blameless mean 85% okay and 15% not okay? No. You see, God has a high standard. And I've had people say to me, oh, Brother Mark, why do you see it that way? Can't you give a little bit? Isn't there some shades of you know, some shades of gray here? But when I think about what the word of the Lord says, there is no shadow of turning in him. Now, yes, God is merciful. He is loving. And he overlooks some of our 10% of whatever that's still there. He overlooks it for a season. But if we're going to become sons of God, brethren, he wants all. He wants the throne. He doesn't just want half a throne. He wants it all. Are we in agreement? Yes, I see some nodding here. So mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. Shall not dwell in my house. Is not a toss of the coin. 50-50, maybe not. No, if you work deceit, you're not going to dwell in his house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any unresolved lies in your life? My goodness, I hope not. I hope they've all been confessed and repented of and turned away from. And they're not being carried out in a continuing manner. All right, verse 8. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. Brethren, when we begin to see these things happen in the great and terrible day of the Lord, you're going to have to understand what God is up to, what God is about. He is about purging the land, okay? The land out there. The land in our kingdom, he's purging out. Amen. That I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Let me go to Proverbs for a minute. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Now, brethren, we need to remember this. Those of you that are no longer 18 years old and have discovered that the strength that you had at age 18, you don't have anymore in the natural. Remember now, more and more, the Lord is going to be your strength. You have to remind yourself that. You have to call upon the Lord for that strength. Amen? The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. That's a prophecy. That's a prophecy. The wicked shall not inherit the earth. Chapter 21, verse 15, Proverbs 21. It is joy to the just to do judgment. That is to do justice. It is joy to the just. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Now, brethren, I'm going to go to a rather difficult passage, and I'm going to go to Isaiah, and I believe it's chapter 24 in Isaiah. And I've read it a number of times, and I still come away shaking my head. Lord, what are you talking about here? So I'm going to read some of this in the Amplified Bible. Now, ordinarily, I don't trust any other version, okay? But there are, and I'm not as skilled, nor do I have the time to really translate these words, to really get the meaning of them. I believe that these words had a meaning that I'm finding elusive to me. So would you forgive me if I just read some of this in this Amplified Bible, okay? It's going to be verse 24. Chapter 24, Isaiah. What did I say? No, chapter 24. Okay.
I think there's
no, there's not. Behold, the Lord will make the land and the earth empty. Now, remember, the people that wrote the Amplified Bible are not always thinking in the spiritual realm. Okay. They're thinking, and their translation mostly focuses on the natural understanding. So you're going to have to shift your thinking. Even if we read the King James, you're going to have to shift your thinking also into what God is saying in the spirit. Okay. The Lord will make the land and the earth. So he's talking about both the natural realm of the land and the spiritual realm of the carnal. Okay. Empty, and make it waste and turn it upside down. Twist the face of it and scatter abroad its inhabitants. That sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? What would you say Mike, what would you say if God said he's going to do that to California? Shake it.
I'd say it wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Yeah, or New York. No, it wouldn't surprise me a bit, okay? And it shall be as what happens when the people sow with the priest as with the servant, sow with the master as with the maid, sow with her mistress as with the buyer, sow with the seller as with the lender, sow with the borrower as with the creditor, sow with the debtor. Do any of you understand that this is talking about our financial system? How many believe that our financial system could be in trouble? He's saying he's going to upset everything. The buyer, the seller, the lender, the borrower. He's going to make a mess of this banking system. And by the way, this banking system is probably not what you think it is. There are mighty men that we know not and cannot see that are behind the moving and the shaking of these things. And they believe that they're in control, and they believe that they're going to create their new world order out of this. They have terms that they use: reset, new this, new that, okay? The land and the earth shall be utterly laid waste and utterly pillaged, for the Lord has said this. The land and the earth mourn and wither. The world languishes and withers. The high ones of the people and the heavens with the earth languish. He's talking about the kings, the great men, the billionaires, by the way, billionaires. We're getting more and more billionaires these days. And by the way, I don't know that we should trust every billionaire, okay? I don't know that we should trust in man. Let me go on. The land and the earth also are defiled by its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws disregarded the statutes and broken the everlasting covenant. Now, let's break this verse up into three parts. There's three things that are being said here that are happening. Why is God doing this to the earth? Why is he doing it to the people of the earth? Why is he going to do it to where we live as well? He said, because the earth is defiled by the inhabitants. Number one, defiled. What is defiled? Go ahead and speak up if you have something to say. What is defiled? What does defiled mean? Contaminated. Yeah, that's a good word, Rita. Contaminated. Something has left behind. What about innocent blood? Does that contaminate the land? I believe it does. It contaminates the land. What about injustice? What about injustice in the way men deal with one another? That contaminates the land, doesn't it? Fraud, theft, lying. It what does it leave? It leaves a curse on the land, okay? So number one, defiled. Number two, transgressed the laws. What laws? Not just the laws of man, but the laws of God have been transgressed. What in our social upheaval that is going on in the earth today, what is being transgressed? What laws of God are being transgressed? The laws of human relationships, the laws of God's plan for how he created them, male and female, it's being transgressed. The laws of a man and a woman being in a covenant relationship, it's being transgressed, it's being broken, okay? So the transgression of the laws, disregarded the statutes, and broken everlasting covenant. So that even the covenant that God has made is being nullified, okay? Therefore, a curse devours the land and the earth, and they who dwell in it suffer the punishment of their guilt. Therefore, the inhabitants of the land, by the way, they suffer the punishment of their guilt. Brethren, I'm going to be politically incorrect. What do you think is happening with AIDS? How did that thing come about? How did that thing get spread? Brethren, I remember when it started. And it is now politically incorrect to mention that, but I know how it started. And I remember reading how the epidemiologist actually traced the first case that came into the United States. It was a flight attendant that landed in San Francisco and began to spread his disease through some of the, what do we call them? The places where these kind of people gather in these kind of realms. That was the origin of this thing, okay? Where it came from before that, I don't know. But I say it's a curse, and I say it's they who dwell upon it suffer the punishment of their guilt. Therefore, the inhabitants of the land of the earth are scorched and parched under the curse of God's wrath, and few people are left. Let me depart here for just a minute. I'm going to read a verse in Psalm. Just hold your finger right here in Isaiah for a minute. I'm going to read a verse in Psalm 23. Okay, go over to Psalm 23, just one verse. And this verse was quoted by Peter when he was preaching in the book of Acts. Peter quoted this verse when they came against him for preaching the truth, and they told him that he shouldn't preach anymore. And so the brethren came together, amen, and they prayed. And when they prayed, the place was shaken. Do you believe we'll see anything like that again? Let me go to this verse. Chapter, Psalm 2, chapter 3. You got to go way back to the beginning of Psalm. Verse 3, yeah. Psalm 2, verse 3. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. No, I'm looking for that where it says the heathen rage. Did I miss it? Oh, it's in verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do the heathen rage? Now, what caught my eye yesterday, and maybe the day before, and maybe days before that, the heathen rage. I have these little news apps that come on my phone. I've never had these things come upon me before because I never had a phone that would do these things. We had only a landline, and landlines don't bring in all this stuff. But these new phones that we've got, they have these little apps that bring you news. And so the little thing makes a little noise, and we look at it, and there's a headline on here, just like reading a newspaper. I'm sounding like an old geezer, am I not? Anyway, so one of the headlines said, abortion supporters proclaim summer of rage. What are they announcing? They're announcing that they're going to rage. Isn't that interesting? They're using the word rage. And David said, why do the heathen rage? So if you're going to proclaim yourself that you're going to rage, are you saying we're among the heathen and we're going to rage? What are they raging about? They're raging about because there was a leaked document that came out of the Supreme Court that says that the Supreme Court has intention to put down Roe versus Wade, which is I'll call him Brother Alito. I don't know if he's a brother or not. He's a Supreme Court justice. He said the whole thing of Roe Wade was very flawed. There was no logic that went into that decision. And he's the author of this leaked document that says you're no longer guaranteed a constitutional right to kill your baby in the womb. So they're going to rage. What they're going to do every Saturday, they're going to have a rage of some sort somewhere. They're going to rage in the capital cities. Last summer, it was, it was something else that was raging in Chicago and raging in the West Coast and raging in all the cities, Black Lives Matter, whatever it was, I don't know. Then there was a different one. Then there were a whole bunch of rages. And I remember saying back in February, brethren, we're going to have more rages this summer. I don't know what they'll all be, but here's another organization said, we're going to rage. We're going to be among the heathen. We're going to rage. Now, this morning, another little interesting thing came to my attention, another little headline, and it was the New York City mayor. I forget his name, doesn't matter. He's one of these princes and one of these kings or what have you. It says he blasts the pro-life radical extremists. Did you notice all these words? Blasts, pro-life, radical extremists. Now, what could be a pro-life stand that is not radical or extremist in his way of thinking? He went on to define he gave a speech, I guess. He went on to say that he believes that any woman should be able to kill her fetus right up till the very minute of birth. So if you don't believe that, you are a right-wing, radical extremist worthy of his blast. Now, remember, this man was elected to the largest city in America. His views were surely known to the people that elected him. This used to be considered one of the largest cities of the world. I don't know, maybe it's among the three largest. I don't know what the other two or three would be, Hong Kong, or I don't know where they are. But this represents a substantial portion of human beings that have a certain belief. And apparently these human beings that have elected this man to be their spokesman are saying, we are in agreement with this. They're making an announcement before the throne of God. And they basically said what this verse in Isaiah said. What was this verse again? Verse 5. Let me read it in the King James. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. So they've also changed the law. They want the law changed. They want men of the court to agree with them that we shouldn't have to follow the precepts of God. Now, let me just state, there's another one going on too in Texas. Texas, how did it happen? There were people in Texas that tried to bring a lawsuit or a law, I forget what it was, against the people who are trying to change the genders of little children, little innocent children, okay? Little six-year-old girl, mommy, I don't want to be a girl anymore. I want to be a boy. Or a little boy that says, I don't think I'm a little boy. I think I should be a little girl. So what they do is they take these children to some clinic or doctor or somebody that believes in this, and they start pumping them full of hormones of the opposite sex so that they're trying to prevent them from developing into, they try to do it before puberty so that they will develop into something other than what God created them to be. These are demons, brethren. And somebody tried to bring a lawsuit to some kind of a charge. Maybe it was a charge against them for child abuse, charging them with child abuse. Well, some judge down there in Texas put a halt on this thing. Now, it doesn't mean it's over with. Brethren, are we going to allow this kind of pollution to come into our land? You know, Mike and us in New York, we are living in the most polluted bookends of the United States and what everything is in between, the East and the West Coast. Amen. Let us not agree with this trend that is coming. Let us not agree with these people have to be deceived. The governor of New York State, when that thing was leaked, she made a loud pronouncement. Hillary Clinton, these big women voices, these rebellious women voices, come out and say, well, this is a tragedy. This is abominating. I mean, they were using terms that God uses, and they were saying, black is white, white is black. If you don't agree, you're an abomination. What they're saying is, if you're not deceived like we are, you're crazy. You're an abomination. Basically, that's what they're saying. And these people that are so deceived in such a manner are the ones who are leading us. Where are we going, brethren? What does God view this whole thing as? I'm sorry, I don't mean to get into politics. I'm talking about righteousness and unrighteousness, brethren. I'm not talking about Democrat, Republican, or anything like that. Well, let me go back to this chapter here and a little bit more in this chapter. Okay. I'm going to skip this about the new wine and the mirth and the timbrels and the drinking of wine and song, the wasted city. I'm going to skip over that. Come down to verse 12, okay? In the city is left desolation. Its gate is battered and destroyed. What is the purpose of the gate? What does the gate do? Rita was talking about, you were talking about Pilgrim. Have any of you read the little book called Man's Soul? Talk about the soul of man. You ought to get a hold of that little book sometime. I forget just the exact title. I think it's called Man's Soul. And the gate of man's soul, there were gates, different gates. The one gate was the ear gate, the eye gate, the mouth gate, nose gate, whatever, the senses that permit things to come into the soul. It says these gates are all broken down. This is what I'm looking in the Bible here, that the gates of the man's soul are broken down. The enemy can come in. He brings in his word from the news articles. He brings in the curses from these great women of great rebellion, the Hillary Clintons and the Kathy Hochuls and what's her name in Congress? Nancy Pelosi, these women that other women have come to trust and say, they're our leaders, they're our idols. And they bring in this filth and they open up their gates and they swallow this. The gates are broken down. So shall it be in the midst of the earth among the people as the shaking and the beating of an olive tree. Where did we read that before? That's over didn't I just read that in Revelation chapter 6? As the shaking of an olive tree, a mighty shaking. Mike, you know better than I do. I remember when Bert was over there and growing the olive or the almond trees. And I said, do you have to go and pick these all off? No, a machine gets a hold of them and gives it a mighty shaking. And all the nuts are shaken off. Well, apparently that's how they did the olive tree as well. They'd shake the olives off. And God is saying, this is the way it's going to be. There's going to be a shaking of your soul, brethren. Amen. As the beating of an olive tree or the gleaning when the vintage is done and only a small amount of fruit remains. But these who have escaped and remain lift up their voices. They shout for the majesty of the Lord. They cry aloud. Amen. From the sea. Wherefore glorify the Lord in the east. Let me go to another place in this chapter. Let me go down to verse to the end here from this. Wherefore glorify the Lord in the east. Amen. The name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles and the coasts. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs. Glory to the righteous one. And say, emaciated, I pine away, I pine away. Woe is me. The treacherous dealers deal treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers deal very treacherously. We're living in a land of treacherous dealers, brethren. Very treacherous. Amen. Terror and pit of destruction and snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. I'm going to switch over to the King James here in verse 18. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of fear. Now, notice this. There are three things here. Three perils. The first one is fear. How many of us will give in to the spirit of fear when these things come upon the land? All right, so he flees from the noise of the fear, he shall fall into the pit. Now, the pit is, what do we call it? I was going to use the word deadfall, but I'm not sure that's the proper name of the trap. What men did sometimes is they would dig a pit and cover it over with branches, and it made it look just like it was natural ground. They put this right in the middle of a trail, okay? And the animal would come along, and there'd probably be spears in the bottom of this thing. He'd fall into this thing, and the spears would impale. A kind of a trap, okay? So he should fall into it. He that cometh up out of the midst of the pit, in other words, he survived that and is taken in the snare. Now the snare is a net. So there's three perils. One, if one doesn't get him, the other's after him, okay? The windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. What are the foundations of your earth? What are the foundations of what you believe? If your foundations are simply based on what your denomination teaches you, you'd better look at it again and make sure that what they're teaching you is really the foundation of the Word of God, because God is the only foundation. Jesus said the foundation of the word of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. If there is a belief in your system that is not based on that foundation, it shall be shaken. Such in Hebrews, it says that only that which is unshakable shall remain. Glory to God. Let the shaking come. Amen. But get to your foundation. The word we are preaching, brethren, I keep saying, I hope I'm doing it. My intention is to preach the apostolic message. That means the message of the apostles, which is based on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. All right, let me go on. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. Amen. Hallelujah. The Amplified says it's shaken violently. The earth shall stagger or reel to and fro like a drunkard. Have any of you seen a drunkard? He steps out of the tavern. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. He's had way too much to drink. He's fumbling for the keys of his car, thinking he can drive home. Very unstable situation. He can't be depended on. And the earth, the systems of this earth, reeling like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. That little cottage we found over in Europe, in the Czech Republic, not so much here in America, but I've seen more of them. They have a little tiny shack out in their garden. It's a little tiny shack. I guess we have some of them here. The Amish build them now, and they put them on trailers. But these shacks that they're talking about are very, very flimsy. A little wind could blow them down. So he's saying they're moved, they're blown over like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it. It shall fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones. This is confirmation. We've read this before. The high and mighty. Revelation. Amen. David. The hosts of unrighteousness that live in the high realms of Satan's kingdom being brought down. The kings of the earth that are part of that beast system, amen? They shall be gathered together as prisoners. I look forward to seeing that day, amen? Gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit. They shall be shut up in prison, and after many days shall they be visited. I believe what Isaiah is talking about here is locked up for the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, and then brought out for that great throne of judgment. Then The moon shall be confounded. The old order church is going to be confounded. The moon church, old order, brethren, not the new order, not the man-child church, but the old order moon. Amen? The sun shall be ashamed. That's even the word of God is going to be dimmed as it is now. The word of God is being dimmed now. You stand up in school and start talking about the Bible, talking about creation, talking about the unrighteousness of what they're doing to the children, and talk about this push for recognizing all kinds of homosexuality among the little children. Little children claiming they're homosexual. They don't even know what they're talking about. It's a spirit that is pushing these little children. Cody's peers, my goodness, seventh grade. They don't know what's going on in the seventh grade. I didn't know what was going on when I was in the seventh grade. But stand up against it and see what happens. Brethren, teach your grandchildren. Teach your children. I remember my mother and my sister, your mother, Howard, sat me down. I was six. She would have been about 16, ready to go to school. Sat me down and gave me the wept for. You're going to school. You're going to encounter people that don't believe the way you believe. Boy, they set me straight. Here's how you're to behave when you go there to that school. No, they didn't take me out and homeschool me. They put the word in me. And when I encountered these things as a child, I knew right from wrong. You know what? I spoiled their whole holiday. The other kids, the teacher just kind of smirked and smiled. I stood up and said, there's no Santa Claus. They're all lying to you. I didn't become the most popular kid in the first grade. I remember Miss Arthur, she just kind of smiled and looked away. Like, okay, I know that too. But you just blew it for my whole class. Well, I don't know if they all believe me, but come on, you got to put this in your kids. They can be stronger than you think. Amen. The kids can be overcomers. Amen. All right. Did I finish with this? Yes. Okay, this last verse. When the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients or the elders gloriously. Let me see if I missed any verses here that I wanted to pick up. Yes, I want to pick up just this one verse from Luke. We're talking about the heathen raging. Oh, there's much more. There's much more in Zechariah. There's more in Revelation. I'll just make mention of it. And I know our time is drawing to an end. Zechariah, just go home and read it. Somebody will read it again. Zechariah 13, verses 8 through 9. Well, I'll just read it. We got a minute. It won't hurt. Zechariah, what God is going to do to cleanse this earth. I got to find Brother Zechariah here. Zechariah, I found Zechariah. It's going to be in 13. Zechariah 13. Just two verses, 8 and 9. It shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call upon my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. This sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? These world leaders are looking for a depopulation of the earth. Well, it sounds like it's going to happen, but not the way they think. They're going to be the ones depopulated from it. Okay. Quick confirmation of that from Revelation chapter 8. Just a quick confirmation here, Revelation chapter 8. We've probably read this before. This is the seventh seal. And we're going to come down to the first and the second trumpet, okay? Verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, if that's a spiritual understanding here, the trees and the grass, a third of the trees, that's the strong Christians, and all the grass is all the weak Christians. It sounds like they might not make it in the natural realm of their natural life. Now, they can be saved, okay? But they're not going to enter into the finality. Next verse, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. Now the sea is the world, brethren. The world. Not just the natural sea, the world. And the third part of the sea became blood. That's a pretty thorough cleansing. I don't know when it happens. I don't know how it happens. I'm just reading you the word of God. I'm going to finish with Luke chapter 21 so that we understand what we're facing in this summer of rage. There'll be more of them announcing their rages, I'm sure, as we come more into the summer. It's funny. People don't like to rage when it's 10 below zero. Isn't that funny? Too cold to rage. Stay by the fire. All right, here's Luke 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. We're seeing the distress already. Distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. This is a roaring of the waves, by the way, this raging. It's a roar. The waves are the wild spirits moving upon the sea, stirring up the sea, stirring up the spirits of the unredeemed people, threatening them that they can't have their abortion, threatening that they can't have their sexual sins and get away with it. That's a threat to them. It's going to stir up the waves. It says men's hearts failing them for fear. We're not going to give in to fear, brethren. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let the powers of heaven be shaken in Jesus' name. I'm going to leave the recording on for a minute if you want to add anything to that.
There's three things I'd like to comment on. The first one is AIDS, and I want to ask you a question. If you mixed your garbage with your food, what do you think would happen to you?
I'd probably get sick.
You'd get sick. Don't mix the reproduction system with the elimination system. And that isn't just man to man. That can be man to woman, too. And the second thing is, one of the things we have to watch out for today is they change the names of things to glorify it. For instance, when a spouse cheats on their spouse, instead of them calling it cheating or unfaithfulness or infidelity, they say they had an affair. So they're trying to get you to not think something's as bad as it is by changing the name. And that's what happens. That's what has happened with abortion. They're calling it women's health. I'd like to see them call it what it really is. Abortion is women's birth control by murder. And if we look at things in the way it really should be called, it can really change how we think about it. And then the last one is, you were talking about the harvesting of almonds. And I just wanted to bring out the point that you purposely withhold water from the crop at the end of its cycle. And that's because when a tree or a plant or whatever it is knows that it's going to die, it has a realization in itself that I need to bring forth my fruit. And so they purposely withhold water from almonds to cause it to finish ripening the nuts. And so I'm bringing that up to say, when God is bringing you trouble, be aware that he's doing it to bring forth something good in you. So don't be dismayed. Start looking, start thinking for what is God trying to show me by this predicament that I'm in.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. You're going to have to shut the recording off over there, Rita. Go to more or recording.
Stop recording.
Stop. And yes, you want to do it.